Let's talk a little bit more about the powers of clairvoyance. Do you, or would you say it's like ESP?
Is it like ESP? Well, I think it's exactly like ESP, because what does ESP stand for? It's extrasensory perception. And when in the first pages of the book, we're learning there are not only five senses, there are six, there are seven, maybe there are more than that. Well, that's perceiving the world through your extra senses. And this was another part of the influence from India. There's more to reality than meets the eye or the ear. And so anything that you can think of as a superpower from a comic book or a fairy tale, well, these can all grow out of clairvoyance or mentalism, as I put in the Mentalist Handbook, a lot of different parallels between different powers and abilities and creatures from myth. So these would include things like thought transference. You could have telepathy, where you are sending your thoughts out just like you would over the phone, but someone could pick those up. Or mind reading, where you are listening for people who are sending thoughts out. There's also astral projection. Your consciousness can leave your physical body, go somewhere else, and return. You didn't go to that place, but you were there as a personality. There's also psychic influence over other people. Like we said, this can be used for good or nefarious purposes. And there's also attracting what we want in life, just bringing these good things, these things that we're hoping for through concentration into our life. So this ESP, clairvoyance, all this, it's a very, very rich kind of practice.
Have you used this in your own life, Clint, and has it helped you out of circumstances?
I believe that I use it every day. And what the best thing that I've gotten out of this work is not any kind of superhero sort of vision experience or any kind of superpower, you might say, but just to wake up in the morning and say, well, it's going to be a good day, and I'm going to give this person over here the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to smile when I go about my day. And just this idea that I can make my day mentally and then carry it out, that's been the most powerful thing for me with this practice. And then I get so many letters and emails from readers, and I love it. I love it when people get in touch with me with their own stories, so I can hear how they're using this work to better themselves, or if they have questions, I do my best to write back and always help them to move on to the next thing. Now, one ability that I will say I've had some definite experience with, it's explained in the book Clairvoyance and Occult Powers, it's called psychometry. And that's a word I hadn't seen before, but psychometry is this idea that things, not only are thoughts are things, but things are thoughts, you could say, where you've got some small object, and just by touching it, holding it to your forehead. You remember Carnac on Johnny Carson?
Oh, yeah.
He would
classic.
Hold that to his forehead, and he would tell you what it is. What's in the envelope, Johnny? Well, this book, Clairvoyance and Occult Powers, they got a whole chapter on psychometry. I've done this before where when I'm in the right state of mind, I can pick something up, and it really tells me about its past. And what's really fun is to read about the experiences that the investigative societies of the day were doing, the experiments they're conducting with psychometry. They would hand somebody something, and it was almost like a riddle. There was one woman who was really good at this. They'd always go back to her. They'd say, hold this in your hand. Tell us what you think. It'd be a black rock. And she would hold it up to her forehead. She'd hold it in her hand. She'd get very still, and soon she would say, I'm surrounded by nothing at all. I feel as though I'm a million miles away from the earth.
She probably was.
I'm moving very fast. Oh my, I see the moon, but I don't see the earth. Turns out she was holding part of a meteorite that we can only assume was hurtling past the moon on its way to earth. And they gave her something else. She explained, oh, I'm so large and heavy, I can hardly move. I'm covered in fur. I've got these huge flapping ears, and my mouth is making the most strange shapes and sounds, and there are others like me around. She she had a bit of a mastodon tooth. And so there are these great riddles where that you're trying to figure out, even from reading these, it's a bit of psychometry. What on earth could she be holding in her hand? And I love that because, you know, we're surrounded by material things in our lives, and everything has a story. Everything is full of thoughts, and it's a product of history. And even if it's not man-made, these things have got some kind of history in it, and it's wonderful to be able to get in touch with that. I think it really helps us feel more human.
Clint, tell me a little bit more about your other work, The Mentalist Handbook. Tell me the entire scope of that.
Great. The Mentalist Handbook, it's got the subtitle, An Explorer's Guide to Astral, Spirit, and Psychic Worlds. It's a book that was put out by Red Wheel Weiser a few years ago. And this is a collection of booklets that I wrote based on my own research and that were illustrated by a wonderful artist named Jeff Hoke in Monterey, California, out here. His own book, The Museum of Lost Wonder, I would encourage everyone to go find too, because it tackles some great big questions of life that we're always wondering about. The Mentalist Handbook was put out as a series of booklets first. We called it the Camelopard. It's the Latin name for a giraffe. We say we're going to elevate our thoughts. So what's the tallest thinker in the land? What's this giraffe with its thoughts way up there in the clouds? And what Jeff and I did was we covered basic topics. What is the world that we can't see? Well, we called it the ether or the etheric plane. And well, how do you get there? You use this technique. It's called mentalism. And it's like what we've been talking about here tonight. You're being still. You're practicing listening to yourself and being in touch with the world around you. And you can go places, and these places include the astral world, where you can do astral projection, move around, find other people, find places that you couldn't go physically. The spirit world, where spirits live, ghosts. It's my belief that people can use these techniques to go to the afterlife before they die. You don't have to wait until after your life to visit heaven or hell, if that's the place that you'd really like to go. And then there's also instruction in these booklets about how to go about your day with a more psychic state of mind and just a sensitivity to the people and the places and things around you and what thoughts are making up those things.